Shall begin. Okay, so essentially, yesterday I tried to look a little bit at the Gemara that talks about the basic difference between what was and what happened later, assuming that that's the case. That the Gemara tells us that there was an initial takana, which may or may not still be a takana. Ner Chanukah mitzvah lanich l'pesach beiso. This is the Gemara in Chafalah from Adbeis. That the proper way, it seems, to light Neres Chanukah is by the doorway, mibachutz. V'imhaya dar ba'aliya manicha b'cholon. And if you live on an upper floor, then you should put it in the window, hasmuch l'r shesarabim, one that is adjacent to the public thoroughfare. V'vishas hasakana, when it became dangerous, or when it is dangerous, manicha al shulchano v'dayo. Then you can put the candle on your table, and that's enough. So a couple of questions we need to try to figure out about the nature of this whole concept. But first, we have some details here to understand. First of all, what sakana are we talking about? What was dangerous? What is dangerous? Is this a specific sakana? Is this a general sakana? It's going to impact how we understand how things play out later. So is this something that happened once in history? Is this some type of a general situation? Is this an external situation, an internal situation? So do you see anybody commenting on this at all? Yosef? Okay, so... Right, so what you mean by chavri is referring to a Gemara in Hey Yom Aleph, right? A different Gemara, right? So the Gemara here, the Gemara Rashi seems to see something very specific in this. Right? The Rashi says that there was some issue that... Rashi about Sakana, Shahaya lehem leprasayim chok biom edom, shlev iru ner elevase of adazar shalhem kinabrina begin. That there was a certain culture, they were fire worshippers, and fire was a big part of their religion, and they didn't want the fire to be anywhere else. So therefore, they'd get angry if you had a candle outside your house, they wouldn't allow that. So that's something very specific. Other Rishonim seem to see it as something maybe a little more general. And for example, as Yosef mentioned, so if you look in Tosfos and Daf Mem Hei and Aleph, so the Gemara makes reference to Chavri, which seems to be another Chavra that was a problem for us. And here, Tosfos, if you see Tosfos, Mekame Chavri B'Shabta, so at the end of the Tosfos, it says, Omeri, the B'Shas HaSakana de Le'el, what was mentioned earlier on our Daf, Lav sakanas chaverim kamer ela sakanas gezera shagazru shlo lahadlik ner Chanukah. That it was an anti-mitzvah campaign, and that they were told not to light ner Chanukah, and that was specifically targeted. So, is there a difference between these two perceptions of the sakana? Could it possibly affect any issues that we may have today or in later generations? What do you think, Yosef?
Just one of the. There was a Yom Ayad or something, which
Yom Eidam.
Yom Eidam, right? Which means it would just be for one day. As I'm just saying.
That's part of it. Right? That kind of focuses in one direction. But in addition, it seems that one perception is that the Gzeira is about fire, and the other is it's about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, or maybe it's about mitzvahs in general. So that could impact the question of how do we help things by moving things inside. And if the Gzeira is about fire, so how do we help things by moving things inside? So it sounds like, right? It sounds like, that's how some of the Rishonim say, well, they probably aren't going to go around inspecting the houses, so it's only if it was outside in public they would notice it, but inside maybe they wouldn't see it so much. According to the other possibility, that there was some concern about Neres Chanukah, so inside might mean something else. Right? It may also mean that they weren't so likely to investigate inside. But what else could it mean? It could also mean that maybe this is the focus of Shulchano. Right? And this is going to tie into some things we've seen already. By the way, a lot of the Marmakomos this morning, you may have noticed, some of them were familiar, some of them have appeared before. But we're seeing them now in a different context, with a different point of focus. So this, in general, is going to build on some points that we've seen elsewhere in other contexts. So maybe the issue is that if you put it on your table, it won't be clear that it's a mitzvah candle at all. In other words, does it help if you were going to light a menorah and place it by your door inside the house? Would that help the sakana issue? Or maybe it depends, right? Is the issue that they're just not going to look inside the house, so move everything indoors? Or is the issue that there's an anti-Neres Chanukah campaign? In which case, maybe you kind of have to camouflage it.
So that would be an issue if they saw it at that point. It would just be an issue that they didn't identify as a Hanukkah.
Yeah, maybe they. Maybe, are we assuming they're not looking inside the houses? Is that our point, that we're trying to just keep it out of public view, or is it that we need to actually hide it and camouflage it and make it look like it's something else, and therefore that's what we're trying to accomplish? So the truth is, we'll see. We'll get into this a little bit more, time permitting, but it's not 100% clear. Pesach beiso mi b'chutz. What exactly does that mean? Is it a little bit of a difference in Rishonim? So it's kind of a subtle point. Do we mean that the candles should be literally outside? Or should they be inside, right near the front of the door? So that's an issue we'll have to spend a little more time on. It's a little bit of a machlokas here, which may be impacted by this. And one of the places that it's relevant to is the Gemara here makes reference to the Gemara that appears in Bava Kamma also. That if you have a Hanukkah candle that's outside, let's say you're a storekeeper, and you have a Hanukkah candle outside because it's Hanukkah and you want to fulfill the Sikra Takana, and you have a camel that passes and the camel is carrying flax, and the flax catches fire, so whose fault is that? And so it sounds like from the Gemara that if it happens on Hanukkah, so the storekeeper is potter, he's exempt because he was supposed to have his menorah outside. So is that really what's going on? Is it that the menorah is outside? Is it inside by the door? There's a little bit of a discussion about that. It's not 100% clear what exactly is going on here. I just want to parenthetically point out, when we talk about that Gemara, it's a source of a lot of confusion. You know, the Gemara does say, the Mishnah says in Bava Kamma, that you know, if somebody's mazik, somebody else's property, so normally the mazik is liable. But if you have a situation where there's a mitzvah explanation, such as this Ner Chanukah situation, or let's say it's Erev Shabbos, people are running around to prepare for Shabbos. So the Mishnah, the Gemara, call that Ratz Bereshus. A person is running around with permission. So in that situation, the person who is Mazik may end up being exempt. So it's possible to get the wrong idea, what I think is the wrong idea, which some posts can spell out is the wrong idea. The Chavos Yar has a tshuva about this, and others, that we shouldn't get the impression that there is a general tour from the Zikin, that if you damage somebody else's property because you are running after a mitzvah, so then you're exempt, you're off the hook because you're chasing mitzvahs. It's a little bit of a dangerous idea. And as one contemporary sefer put it, so everyone's going to have to walk around in body armor all the time, because who knows, maybe there's somebody who's on his way to a bris, or is on his way to a shir, or is on his way to some mitzvah. You're not going to have any kind of protection. So do we really mean to say that this concept of ratz bereshus, somebody is pursuing a mitzvah, so therefore they're off the hook for whatever damage they do? It could easily lead into very dangerous thinking. So the way some explain, it's a tshuva about this in the Chavos Yar, it's also a tshuva about this in the Tshuvas Netzach Yisrael, who was written by Rabbi Grossman, the father of the disco rabbi. Yisrael David Grossman, so his father wrote the Shailos and Tshuvas Netzach Yisrael. So he has a tshuva along these lines as well, where he explains that this does not mean to say that somebody who's chasing after a mitzvah is exempt for any damage he causes. What it means to say is that we generally have a burden that's placed on the potential victim as well, the potential nizak, that he has to know that if he leaves his stuff out in the middle of the highway, so it's probably going to get run over, because on the highway people drive very fast, and they drive over stuff that's in the middle of the road, so if you leave your stuff there, it's likely going to get destroyed. So you have to be aware when there is a general atmosphere of mitzvah, when there's something that everyone's a part of that's going on, so then that could change the mechanics of what the burden is on the nizak to protect himself. So he knows that on Erev Shabbos, the marketplace is a more hectic place than it is on a Tuesday. So that's a burden on him to be aware of that. And he knows then on Hanukkah that people will have candles outside their doors. But it doesn't mean that just because a person is pursuing a mitzvah, that they're off the hook for anything. It means that it changes the expectations of what a person should be ready for. Okay, so that's just an important ha'ara in terms of how to understand that concept. But all of that is relevant to this question when the Gemara brings in this line, which is here in our Gemara, but it's also a Gemara Maseches Bava Kamma, that if you have, it's a little bit later on our daf, that if you have a Hanukkah candle outside your door that ends up starting a fire, so then what exactly does that represent? Does it represent you're supposed to have your candles outside, so therefore that's the understanding, or do we mean by the front of the door? So that's a little bit of a discussion. And if it means by the front of the door inside, so maybe that's not consistent with some of these definitions of sakana. Maybe if we're saying they're not going to look inside, so you could have a menorah by your door and close your door, and maybe you won't be subject to sakana. So that's just one question off the bat. You know, what exactly is the nature of the sakana that we're afraid of? Always the question, what's the nature of the sakana we're afraid of? But what's the sakana that we're afraid of here by Neres Chanukah, and how does that impact contemporary questions of sakana, which are a major issue, la halacha? So, before we go further, Michael.
Was there a conclusion to the mahalakah we had last time regarding the nature of Havara, whether it's an extension of you, or you're just sending it, doing its own thing?
Yeah, we basically pass in Havara that Eisha of Mishum Chitzev, that we view starting a fire as if it's something you do directly.
So then maybe you would say that the camera it is high, because we normally say that an animal is more of an extension of yourself.
Or less an extension of yourself, usually. That's the other possibility. Yeah, because, well, I mean, if you're directing it, you mean in that sense, it could be, for a person, Malacha Shabbos, it's different areas of halacha. So for example, if you go plowing with an animal, so then that plowing might be considered to be the animal as a tool. You're doing it directly. But in terms of nezikin, so let's say you have an animal that you're not riding on, and the animal is traveling by itself, so you're chayef for what the animal does, but that's mishum mamona, that's because it's your property, so you're liable to watch your property, so you're liable to watch the animal also. So it's more disconnected than fire. But in any event, so let's try to figure out the following issue. And again, this is very much is going to affect contemporary application of this principle. And just give a preview of what that's about. So we will probably assume that for the most part, nowadays, we're not, Baruch Hashem, in a situation of sakana in the normal sense, at least most of us. So how does, which part of the Gemara applies to us? What's our practice today? That's a major, major discussion. So a couple of steps we have to figure out first. So question one. In the time of the Gemara, the Iker Takana, when you lit outside, so how do you understand that Takana? Was lighting outside the whole Takana? Was that what had to happen? And therefore, to say we can light inside, Shasa Takana, is really a big concession, is really kind of a whole redrawing and redefining of the mitzvah? Or is it different? Was it that it was always enough to light anywhere? And that l'chachila, there was an Indian to light outside. And if there's a takana, they didn't insist on. Now you follow the issue, what was the initial takana of Neres Chanukah? To light davka outside? Or to light. And the halacha was it should be outside. And Malcolm Sakana, we didn't insist on that. Yosef?
Doesn't it sound from the Gemara's expression mitzvah that that was kind of the way it was originally instituted? Not just like it's a good thing, it's better to do this, but that was the original.
See, that's an interesting point, except that it's kind of subjective, because there will be those who will read those exact same words the opposite way. Right? Because sometimes mitzvah in Gemara language, right, even though in our language you use mitzvah to mean an obligation, but in Gemara language, mitzvah is often relative to say that it's not an absolute crucial part of what's going on. We say something is l'mitzvah, meaning that it's more l'chachila, more ideal. And there are those who feel the language the Gemara actually reads that way, right? Mitzvah l'hanicha pesach beiso, da-da-da, v'shas sakana nicha shulchano v'doyo. Ideally, you should do it this way, and if sakana, it's enough that way, which could all read as one sentence. And that there's an ideal and there's an acceptable situation, which kind of we fall back on the acceptable situation. So this seems to be a machlokas HaRishonim, if you want to be medayik in things. Rishonim aren't so explicit in it, but for example, I asked you to look at some Rambams. So if you look, there are those who felt that this phrasing is highly significant and this placement is significant. So if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, in Parak Gimel, Halacha Gimel, you saw this? How does the Rambam describe the whole process of Neres Chanukah? If we can open it up, that'll help. Almost there. Not yet. Coming up. Okay, yes. Parak Gimel, Halacha Gimel. What does the Rambam say? First in Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beit, he tells the whole story about the history of Hanukkah. Then Halacha Gimel, and b'pnei zeh hiskinu chachamim shvoso ador shiyushmonas yamim ha'elu shetchilas and chafei b'kislev meisim chavahalim adlikim b'hananeros bo'erev al pischei habatim b'cholayla b'layla mishmonas ha'leilos l'haros l'galos hanes. So there are many who read that Rambam to say, okay, here he is, he's conveying what the institution was. And what's a key part of the sentence? That it should be al pischei habatim. Sounds like that was the takana, that there should be Neres Chanukah over there in this public place by the front of the house. And when does he tell you about the shasa sakana? Not until a whole perek later. In perek dalet, in halacha zayin, so then he says, again, Neres Chanukah mitzvah nichol pesach beis and mechutz, tefach hasan luch pesach al smol. Okay, da-da-da-da-da-da. Then halacha ches, b'mei ha-sakana, meniach adem ner chanukah b'soch beis u'mivnim, v'afilu henichu al shulchan odoya. So the Rambam here seems to be saying that there is a concept of a sakana, which seems to be a whole separate thing. That halacha gimel, we were taught that the main concept of Neres Chanukah is al pischei habatim. And then halacha dali tells you there's a heter of sakana. And by the way, there are those, once we're being medayik in the Rambam, who thinks his language is being precise here as well, but he differs a little bit from the Gemara's language, which the Gemara just says, Menichu al Shulchano. So here the Rambam's language is, just to take note of it while we're looking at it, Misoch Beiso Mibifnim, V'afilu Henichu al Shulchano. So it sounds like the main point is to get inside your house. We mentioned before the question of, is indoors automatically enough, or does it have to be camouflaged? So it sounds like from the Rambam, like the main thing is to get it indoors, and the camouflage is secondary. You know, that even if it's also on your table, once it's indoors, that theoretically could be enough. So it's not explicit in the Rambam, but it sounds like he thinks that the Iker Takana really was it should be outside, and that this is somewhat of a major shift to allow it to be done inside. Yosef?
Based on the Rishonim, I understand that the whole concept of the Kana of Hanukkah was to emulate with the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. So how do they understand?
How does it compare to the Beis HaMikdash? That's a great question. What I'll ask you to hold on to, because that's why this will connect to this, when we get to the concept of the Beis HaKnesses, which will attach to the sugya, come back to that question and see how it may possibly fit in. It may possibly correlate to that. Okay, so this seems to be perhaps one way to look at things. And many also noticed that perhaps this is a machlokas, Tosfos and the Ritva, that we already saw. Although we didn't focus on this point, so it's, I put it again on the list this morning. But Tosfos and the Ritva have the following, not so much a machlokas, but they have a following difference in nuance. That the question was, when we earlier saw the sugya of Di'ilo Adlik Madlik, when the Gemara says that the purpose of the zone of Neres Chanukah, that it should be from Shkia at Shetich L'Regel Menashuk, and the Gemara says one possibility of what that halacha means is that's the time period that you have. Right? That's the time that you have to light Neres Chanukah. So we saw that there was a whole machlokas among the Rishonim about are we boxed into that time? Is there more time? Is there b'diavad time? Right? The Rambam's view was that it was only within that time, and the Rashba's view was it could be all night, theoretically. So Tosfos said that really it's in that. Tosfos said three things. It's a very subtle point. You have to follow each stage of the Tosfos. But Tosfos, De'ilo Adlik Madlik, Tosfos basically revealed three attitudes. Right? One attitude is that really it's in that zone. It has to be in that time. That's what the phrase means. It's got to be lit before Achetich L'Regel Menashuk. However, There's another opinion in the Gemara also. So if you don't make the zone, you might as well take into account the other opinion and light afterwards. Point number three is that, however, Bisman Hazer, right, if you remember this, we saw it again in a different context, but Tosfos sends off and says, V'lari nire da'ata in lochosh masay aliku da'anan ein lan ha'keir elim ne'abayish reim avlikin mibifnin. That nowadays we light inside, so nowadays you probably don't have to worry about this whole thing. So Bisman HaGemara, it really had to be in that zone. And maybe you could do it afterwards because it's possibly a conflicting opinion. But nowadays everything shifts and it doesn't matter so much. So the Ritva, if you recall, we saw it again in that context, the Ritva was subtly different from that. The Ritva said that it should really be during that time. But if you miss that time, then you might as well still light inside your house because you could at least get the B'nai Beso. So what's the difference between the Ritva and Tosfos? They both say that nowadays you can light inside your house for B'nai Beso. But the difference is the Tosfos is emphasizing that nowadays that's the case. Things shifted. So now that we light inside, okay, so it doesn't matter so much. But in the Ritva's understanding, it seems that even Bisman HaGemara that was true. That ideally you would light outside during the time of Shkiyah Shtichle Regel Menashah. But if you missed that, then even Bisman HaGemara, it still made sense to light inside the house because that was still apparently the mitzvah. It was a lechatchila. It was a perfect surah to light it outside. But inside also accomplished something. So that's a subtle difference between Tosfos and the Ritva, which may also reflect this question, that maybe Tosfos feels this was not the original surah of Neres Chanukah, it changed B'shas HaSakana. And the Ritva felt this was always there, and just nowadays that there's a Sakana, so the Ritva says, okay, now we lean on what was always a possibility. So that's one Ritva. There's another Ritva which also makes this point in an indirect fashion. The Ritva a little bit later on the daf, and that was a newer one. I put that on this morning's list. It's one you hadn't necessarily seen yet. It's very interesting and very relevant to understanding a lot of what's going on here. That the Ritva says that the whole notion of lighting inside because of sakana requires a little bit of explanation. So what's the chiddush that you can light inside because of sakana? Right, we know that this din is not yehar v'yavah. Now, we know that this mitzvah sase midrabanan is not one that you have to give up your life for. So I don't have separate gemaras telling me that whenever there is a sakana, then I'm allowed to not do the mitzvah. So what's special about this? What's the chiddush of this din? Asked the Ritva. Right? You saw this Ritva? I said, what's the chiddush? So according to the Ritva, he said, I'll tell you what the chiddush is. What's the chiddush? We're not talking about life and death kind of sakana. We're talking about much lower level sakana. It'll create bad feeling in the neighborhood. They're not actually going to kill you, but it'll create tensions, eva. Or maybe it's a different type of sakana. Maybe it's just very unpleasant. Maybe it's health sakana. Maybe it's too cold outside. The Ritva essentially says that the chiddush must be that the threshold here is much lower than by other mitzvahs. It's not like we're talking about a real serious sakana, which would always allow you to do away, let's say, with a mitzvah. Right?
That's sakana.
Oh, so that's apparently it's different usage of the word. That's the Ritva's chiddush, which you could question, but that's what he said. If it meant real sakana in the literal sense, then we wouldn't need this, he assumes. But the fact that we have to be told this din shows that it can't be sakana as you normally understand it. Now, there are at least two ways to be medayik in this Ritva that he has a certain opinion consistently said so far. Hi.
What is the underlying assumption of Ritva that Ner Hanukkah is different than he would, like, why?
Why does the Gemara tell us this? Why does he, you don't have a separate Gemara every time you have a mitzvah. You don't have a separate Gemara saying, okay, so you should make Kiddush Friday night. And by the way, if it's a Sakana, then you don't have to. We don't say you should put on Tefillin, or actually, the Gemara is referenced to. But you don't say that you should take a Lulav and Esrog, but if it's a Sakana, then don't. Right? We know that Kol Mitzvos Kulon Yavor V'Al Yehoreg, Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that any time there's a Pikuach Nefesh threat, then you don't do, even you don't have to observe a Mitzvah Losa Asay or a Mitzvah Asay, with a few exceptions, the Big Three, and the Shas HaShmad, and the like. Which, by the way, is something to consider here, that maybe there's a Shmad factor, but without even getting into that. So the Ritva's premise seems to be that I don't need to be told that if there's a Sakana, I'm off the hook. So the fact that the Gemara tells us this needs some Chiddush. Now there's at least two interesting aspects. There's two things you could look at in this Ritva which seem to push him into a certain position, which is consistent with what we attributed to him a minute ago. Anybody want to comment what we're getting at? One point to make. Yes?
Right. It's specifically only to near Hanukkah?
Right, it seems to be, right?
You can't make
well, that seems to be specific about near Hanukkah, but basically, if you ask the question like this, the Ritva is saying, what's the Chiddush of the Gemara? There's a huge Chiddush. There's a huge Chiddush here that's different. What's the Chiddush? Because the Chiddush is, let's say I were to say it like this. Let's say I were to say it was about Lulav and Esrog. Right? So Lulav and Esrog, if the Gemara had said Lulav and Esrog, you have to take Lulav and Esrog on Sukkis. But if there's a Sakana, then you can draw a picture of Lulav and Esrog and look at the picture. So what would the Chiddush of that Gemara be?
You'd be Yosef drawing a picture.
You'd be Yosef with drawing a picture, right? The Chiddush is not that you're off the hook because of the Sakana. The Chiddush is that there's an alternate venue that you never knew was there. So why don't we say that's the Chiddush of the Gemara? That really the din is you have to light outside. Neres Chanukah means you can't fulfill the mitzvah unless you light outside the door. So if that was the case, so then the Chiddush of this Gemara is very clear that now we allow you to light inside the house. That's the Chiddush. So why does the Ritva not think that's the Chiddush? Sorry?
You're in
right, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like apparently the Ritva doesn't think that this is such a Chiddush. He felt that lighting inside always would have accomplished something. That's the Shittaso, what he said a minute ago, right? It's the Shittaso that he said that after Tichlor Rekel Shemir Ashur passes, you could light inside for your family. So he always felt that this existed. And just the idea of lighting outside is an extra din, that it has to be outside. So when the Gemara says, if it's dangerous to light outside, don't do that. So of course, they'll say, yeah, why should I do the dangerous part? I'll just do the other part. So according to Ritva, you need another Chiddush, and that's where he gets up to his redefinition of Sakana. Now?
Well, you can still say that it wasn't so readily apparent that that was, you could still be, you'll say, putting the Hanukkah wood in the house. It would still be a Chiddush whether or not it was a part of the original, didn't it?
Yeah, except that apparently he took that Chiddush for granted. Right, so it seems to me that he assumed that he always knew this was the case, that lighting inside should work. So he needs to find another Chiddush, because to him that Gemara is otherwise redundant. Because, yeah, why shouldn't you light? Yeah, lighting inside was always a possibility. And the Gemara says you could light inside. If the din was, you can light inside. But it's better to light outside. Oh, but if it's dangerous, don't light outside. Well, I know that. If it's dangerous, I shouldn't do something that's dangerous. So it must be that the lighting inside was not a Chiddush to him, and therefore he needs to find another Chiddush. Yosef?
Maybe you can say that based on the right the Gemara, I think the Memhe talks about actually using the, or it's in the Tosas that talks about using the candles, he talks about Shabbos for the food purposes, that maybe you might say, all right, that it's Shas HaShmad, but how far does, or whatever you want to call it, Sakana, how far am I allowed to go to make it seem as if it's not for the purposes of lighting menorah, which would really take up the suminisa, for instance, if I actually use the light of the candles, so that now if there's no question to the people who might be in sakana as you know because of, to them it looks like you're using it for light for the house, for food, you're using it, but you're being able to say the mitzvah with it. So the question is, are you able to be able to say the mitzvah to that extent where I'm really using the candles, but I'm really only using it so this way it takes away the Shas HaKana aspect.
That's a fascinating point. It all makes a lot of sense. It's all interesting. I don't know if that's what the Ritva is getting at, but it does open up a whole other avenue. But what you're basically saying is that this is not so obvious. If the Ritva's issue is what we just said, that, oh, clearly you could light inside, this is still a bigger Chiddush. Because if we read the Shulchan part as saying we're camouflaging the Neres Hanukkah, so that's still a bigger Chiddush than what he said in the previous comment about lighting for your family members. Because that at least is a clear mitzvah. And here, maybe you're allowed to hide the mitzvah. And you could have thought that the whole point of Neres Hanukkah is not to hide the mitzvah. The whole point is to advertise it. And if you're allowed to hide it,
So that's really a chiddush, because you don't seem to be accomplishing anything, which is all interesting. But still, it's actually just a sharper way of saying it. That it's probably an extension along those same lines, that he always felt that having it in this minimalist way could be acceptable. And that's, again, why he's driven to say another chiddush. Others point out, in relation to what Ephraim said, that's sakana. So they said that that's also a reflection of the fact that the Ritzva seems to hold that lighting outside is not really the din itself, because it's such a low threshold, and he feels compelled to create such a low threshold because of the question. But Lamaise, it comes out that there's such a low threshold for getting rid of it that it's hard to believe, if this was really ever the crucial part of the mitzvah, that we could dispense with it for these light reasons. That the Ritzva says that he thinks Sakana could include Eva and Ruach and all of these things which are lower level, that itself seems to de-emphasize whatever it was about lighting outside and lead us to think that it probably is not from the mitzvah itself, or not the defining the mitzvah itself. This is also probably the position of the Rashba. And here again, it's a Rashba that you've seen already, but we're reintroduced to it on this morning's list to see it in a different context. At the Rashba, discussing the Machlokis in the Gemara about whether or not we're allowed to use Neres Chanukah. Do we say Mutter l'Hishtamish L'Ora or Asur l'Hishtamish L'Ora? So we know that we assume Asur l'Hishtamish L'Ora, we're not allowed to use them. But there's a little bit of a debate in Rishonim if that's actually the case, and the Rishonim still had to hash it out a little bit and prove what the conclusion was. So the Rashba, in discussing that, the Rashba says, I'll bring you another proof that it's also l'hishtamish l'orah. This is a question comes up. Somebody asked me this question on Shabbos, a question that the Rishonim deal with. That the Gemara later on will say that if you have not enough candles in your house, let's say you only have one candle for Friday night usage, so it's either going to be a Shabbos candle or it's going to be a Chanukah candle. What takes priority, says the Gemara? Shabbos candle, because that's Mishum Shlom Beiso. That's the main thing, hopefully, we'll have time to consider a little bit. So the whole premise of that prioritization is that it's either or. Now, you can't have one candle serve as both a Shabbos candle and a Chanukah candle. And why is that the case? Because we work off the premise that they have mutually exclusive functions. That the Shabbos candle is there for our usage, is there to give us light, and the Chanukah candle is there not to be used. Also, l'shtamish l'or. So that's the whole premise, it seems, of choosing one or the other. Because if we take the view that mutter l'shtamish l'or, so then you could say, use it for both. Have this candle as your Shabbos candle and your Chanukah candle. And that indeed is what the Rashba says here. It says you could have used it for both. So the fact that we don't do that, why don't we say that? Because we paskin, asur l'hishtamish l'or, that since our conclusion is that you can't use the Chanukah candles, that's why they can't double duty, can't do double duty as Shabbos candles and Chanukah candles, so you have to pick one or the other. Because, says the Rashba, if you could have used it, you could have just put it on your table, used it as a Shabbos candle and a Chanukah candle as well. So what's the problem with that assumption? Basically, what's the Rashba apparently saying? That the only reason I wouldn't just use my Chanukah candle as a Shabbos candle is because of the Isser l'hishtamish l'orah.
Michael? It's perfectly fine to learn that.
Oh, right, that's what he seems to be saying. Right, that he seemed to say that there's no objection at all to my bringing the Chanukah candle onto my table. At least no serious objection that I wouldn't fall back on if I have limited resources. And the only reason I can't do that is because also l'hishtamish l'orah. So Michael was pointing out, well, what about the idea that the Chanukah candle is supposed to be outside? Isn't that enough reason why you need two candles? You need one candle outside and one candle by your Shabbos table. Apparently, the Rashba didn't think that that was such a big deal. He probably thought that that was l'chatila, and ideally you'll have it outside. Because he's dealing with the Gemara, when he says this. He's not just dealing with contemporary practice. And so he's saying, how is he interpreting the Gemara? Even if he feels nowadays it's different, it doesn't have to be the
underlying premise of the Gemara. So what he seems to assume is that ideally you light outside. But if you only have one candle and two Shabbos candles, you need it to be both. So then, especially, since the conclusion of the Gemara is, just to emphasize how the Chachilu ben Yevid works here, that since the conclusion of the Gemara is that you're going to have to use it for Shabbos candles, so it's going to have to be inside. But once it's inside, let it count also the Hanukkah candle. Let's say, all right, it's a Shabbos candle and a Hanukkah candle, but the Yevid. So apparently, no, but the Yevid, it could have been inside, but the Yevid, it can't be usable. Because the Israel is Shamish Lara, that would pass in as an absolute. But bringing it inside didn't bother him in an absolute sense. That would have been acceptable to the Yevid. Apparently, even according to the initial Takana of the Gemara. Yosef?
Doesn't the Rashba suppose that it's you could light for Laila?
Ah, very good.
So then if that being the case, you can see from there already where
so
you should
pass like.
Yeah.
So Baruch Shekivanta, so Rav Asher Weishlita makes the same point. The Sefer Menuchas Asher, he says exactly like Yosef just said, that he thinks that what emerges here is maybe the Rashba and the Rambam, Lishitasam. That if we're correct, or those who have read the Rambam that way are correct, so far the Rambam seems to be the only Rishon who really seems to link the Takana to outside. And that language in the Halal, in Paragimel, where he just says, I'll pass up Esau, he was the only one, Tosus maybe also. So let's say maybe the Rambam and Tosus maybe link it to outside specifically. And we saw that the Ritva and these two comments and the Rashba seem to be more laid back about it, that that's kind of a Lechatchila. So maybe, he suggests, is what Yosef is getting at also, that we saw that the whole idea of lighting, at least in the time of the Gemara, lighting before Ach Tichlo Regel Min HaShuk, was also a major machlokes, as we alluded to a little bit earlier. That the Rambam felt it had to be during that time, and after that time, there's no good, it's too late. And the Rashba felt the Lechatchila had to be during that time, but the Diyabed, it could be all night. The Diyabed could be before the time, it could be after the time. He was much more laid back about it. And he said that it's be mitzvah halayla, like the Mishnah says in the Gilla and Al-Khaf, that any mitzvah that's a nighttime mitzvah can be done all night. So therefore, says the Rashba, you could light all night as well. So maybe it's the same machlokus, that the Rambam feels that the persumei nisa of outside and shkia tichlo regel min hashuk, that's everything. You can't deviate from that. So you can't go after the time. And going inside is only because Chazal explicitly allowed it. And the Rashba feels that that's all lechatchila. But b'di'evet is the concept of lighting even without that. And therefore, b'di'evet, it could be all night. And b'di'evet, it could be inside also. With all of this more heavily intense persumenisa of outside during that time, it is less important to the Rashba than it is to the Rambam. Yosef?
It could be that the Lav Dafka, the arguing. You can see the machlokas maybe in two ways. That either one, they're arguing as to whether or not the persumei nisa is a necessity or not, or alternatively, maybe the Rashba even holds that he's like that chita that holds even one person, and he's yotzei persumei nisa. In that way, the question is just a question of how they agree, to what degree.
Right. So it still comes the question of whether is the Rashba basically. That's kind of a separate question to allude to earlier. That when the Rashba lets you light out, lets you light all night, or maybe if you can light without anybody else around. Is that saying that persumei nisa is not crucial? Or like it's a little bit more likely that it is always crucial, but that you can have persumei nisa on a very small scale. You can have persumei nisa for yourself even. But lechatchila, ideally, it's going to be more intense, and that's what the original takana advocated, or either advocated or insisted on, depending on how you understand it. So how does all this affect the very important question of nowadays? So let's assume that Baruch Hashem we're now confronted with the same type of sakanas that the Gemara was talking about, especially not the very specific one that Rashi was talking about. So if we assume that nowadays we don't have a sakana, if that should be taken for granted, so what should the practice be today? Sorry?
It seems like outside.
It seems like you should go back outside. That's how it sounds on the surface. However, we very rarely see that practice.
right? Not just in our own lives, but even going back several centuries. We don't really see that happening so much. Not 100%. In Eretz Yisrael, there are those who have brought this practice back a little bit more. There it's a little bit more of a mix. But certainly in America, and going back centuries, all the different countries that we've lived in, so it's not so likely you're going to see people lighting outside. The common practice seems to be lighting inside. So why is that? Is that acceptable? And if it's acceptable, is it only to the Eved? Should we say l'chachila, people should get back with the program and revisit this? So this was a major discussion. And there are those who note, for example, that if you look at the Sefer, some of the Rishonim, I didn't put on the list because there's far a little bit harder to find, and I didn't find them quickly in HebrewBooks.org to give that to you, so I didn't put it on the list. Like, for example, the Or Zaruah raises the question, and it's clear from his premise that they're not lighting outside. He just doesn't totally understand why, but the assumption is that people are lighting inside still in his day. And the Bala Itter also has a similar reflection, and the commentary that Pesach Hadvir on the Bala Itter says that since you were knowing to light it on the table, so the minute continues. Though he also implies that if one wants to light outside, but the practice to continue lighting inside continues. So why does it continue? Ben Yishai writes that this also, in Parashas Vayeshev, that once it was established that you should light inside, even in a time when there's no sakana, that practice is continued. So it's a question, why is this? The Aruch HaShulchan, if you had a chance to see it, I could put him on the list. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, and that's a combination of factors. It says that nowadays, in the countries where we live in nowadays, the Jewish people, so when is Hanukkah? Middle of the winter. So it's pretty unlikely that weather conditions are going to be too hospitable to us or to the candles to have us light outside. So already it sounds a little bit like the Ritzvah, right? That it's not just about a specific sakana that's life-threatening, but any type of sakana even extending to unpleasant weather. So, says the Aruch HaShulchan, we're in that condition as well. It's a little bit evocative of some of the discussions they had about sleeping in the sukkah nowadays. And that nowadays in our country, it's cold sukkahs, it's for sure cold Hanukkah. But also, maybe it's not so hospitable for the candles. So we developed the practice to just focus on the inside lighting. He then discusses also that, well, maybe you could have one of those glass little houses where you put on top of the Hanukkah candles so it'll be protected outside, and that way the candles could survive out in the cold. And he has language like that's too much of a tircha. And Chazal did not impose upon us to create windproof candles. And they just asked us to light normal candles, and if it's not really feasible for us to be lighting outside under our weather conditions, so therefore it's enough to rely on the other option of lighting inside. Frank?
Talk about how the entire Mitzvah of Hanukkah is the hitter and doing everything you can, and you're saying it's too much tircha to...
You're right, that's very striking. So then the question is, first of all, do you accept this answer, which not everyone did? Or is the Aruch HaShulchan focusing on something less central to the Mitzvah than the hitter? As we've seen, we've kind of seen the dichotomy throughout, that there are some things we seem to be really insistent on, and some things that we more l'chachil about, and maybe that's already seeing a little bit of clue about this, that this party doesn't seem to think it is such a big deal. But again, not everyone accepted this kind of logic for reasons along those lines. So I think Alex and then Yosef.
Well, wouldn't you assume also by that logic that there would never have been a time where there would be like a sakana that would have prompted someone to move inside? Like, according to that, like, any sort of weather condition really could be an issue, so you'd always want to have
it. But it wasn't necessarily a situation, say, in Eretz Yisrael or Bava at that time of year. It wasn't such a given that you could never light outside. But now, if we're Jews mostly live in Europe or in America, so in America, for sure, the weather is always going to be, or likely to be like this, so maybe that was the issue. It's interesting, we did discuss, you know, the question of lighting in the wind and then putting a box over it. Right. We mentioned the position of Reb Chaim Kanievsky that was okay,
There were other poskim born so sure that even worked. Like Rav Tzipa Issa Frank talks about this in the Kriya Kodesh. He thought that if when you light the candle, if you leave it by itself, it's going to blow out because of the wind, then that's not a viable candle anyway. And that's not going to be effective. And therefore, it's even a halachic shaila if you'd be yotze lighting outside, even if you would later fix it by putting a box around this. That's a little bit of a machlokas, but that contributes to this whole analysis that you have contemporary poskim saying, well, there are a lot of reasons why maybe lighting outside is not so feasible. There is a tshuva about this, and the tshuva is Dvar Yehoshua, who we've mentioned in the past. It happens to be this is one of the more well-known tshuvas. We mentioned some of these more obscure tshuvas. But the Dvar Yehoshua was a daim in Tel Aviv about 50 years ago. Yehoshua Menachem Ehrenberg. So he writes in his tshuva, Simon Mem. He was Chayel Galef and Simon Mem. So he understands that at the time of the Chasimus HaTalmud, since this was the situation, they said it was a Sakana, so here are the new rules. They changed the Takana at that point. This is now the Mitzvah of Hanukkah. It used to be, once upon a time, it was outside. Now it is inside. And that is the new din. And therefore, we don't have the ability to change that. Now the Mitzvah is lighting inside. And he says, if one would light outside, one would not even fulfill the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah Kittikuna, or maybe not at all. He seems to come at this very strongly, with a very strong language, because Chazal made it this way, and none of us have the right to change it at this point. And he says, he came to Yerushalayim, he lived in Tel Aviv, he came to Yerushalayim, and he saw some people lighting outside, he said, he doesn't know where they got this from, doesn't know what hara could allow this, because this is against the Gemara, the way he understands it. And he says that, you mentioned before, Gior Garua, who had expressed wonderment that this practice still continues in his day. So the way he reads this Gior Garua, he's saying Gior Garua said that logically it doesn't seem to be what's indicated, but that's what happened, so we leave it. In other words, the Orzaru was powerless to paskin against this practice to say that nowadays there's no sakana anymore, so go back to the practice of the Gemara. So writes the Dvar Yehoshua, who we're greater than the Orzaru, who has the right to say that, well, nowadays we don't think this is true anymore, so we're changing the takana.
Where does he see that in the
He sees that in the Orzaru. So, what was in the Gemara?
No, he said that the Gemara, the Bible.
Right, he says, because the last line we have is that first it was Mitzvah Nichal Pesach Beso, Uvashasa Sakana, do it like this. So, the way he reads that is step A and step B. And as far as Chazal are concerned, we're left in situation B. So, even if we think that in our judgment things have reverted and that we should be able to go back to A, since there's no hurrah like that from the Gemara. The Gemara left it that this is the way we're doing things, and that was a new takana, which requires, again, a different kind of understanding of how these things are to be perceived. That apparently it's not that this was always a b'di'evit option. And he's saying that this was a whole new redefinition of the mitzvah. Once upon a time it was like this, and the other time, now the things have changed, it's like that. And therefore, no one has the right to change this. He's very assertive about this. I don't totally understand about the situation is, why is it that even if you say, okay, the mitzvah is to light inside, why is it that lighting outside would not be included in that? Why, it's one thing to say that lighting inside is not included in lighting outside, but why the other way around? And it could mean that maybe he's talking about with a chutzah type of situation, I'll fill this in a little bit more tomorrow, where your house, your actual residence is a little bit more far removed from the outside where you'd be lighting it. Or maybe he's concerned about the flame going out over there. I'm not 100% sure why it wouldn't be that lighting outside couldn't be a version of lighting inside. Apparently, though, he was pretty strong about this, that that's not at all a fulfillment of the current takana, and no one has the right to reverse this. Hi.
Why do you say that the new takana is that it's, if you're pursuing issues, Yeah.
Right, you would. Why does your household not also see this going in? Because they're all asleep on the, like, why do they not also, why are they not included in that?
Your house is more of a...
Because they'll see it more, they'll see it constantly.
Maybe.
Yeah, could be. I guess they're home the whole time, so they'll see it the whole zone, and they light it outside, they'll only see it if they happen to walk out. Right? Maybe. It's possible. You have to say some kind of nuance like that, because you have to explain why is it not included in lighting inside. So this is the way he saw it. Clearly it's not the way everyone saw it, but Yom Yehoshua Zilber, in his Chuvah Saz Nidberu, he writes that there is a minhag of the past 150 years, and his son, he passed away about 20 years ago, but he says that there is a minhag of the past 150 years, he was in Yerushalayim, that start the lighting outside again. Says it's a minority custom, but there is such a custom. The Brisker Rav was quoted as maintaining, quoted in a couple of places, including by his student of Tertzin, who we mentioned, the author of the Kuntres Tanakh Megillah, that there is a, he basically understands that it was a new takana to light inside. This was a redefinition of terms. But he himself lit outside, and basically seem to understand the solach achila to light outside. That the new takana means that you're also yotzei inside, and therefore somebody who did light inside presumably wouldn't have anything to relight outside even nowadays. But that there is a achila to light outside and to address a greater crowd.
Wait, it's not to light inside and
outside? No, to light outside. But that's it. But
so
the nature.
What changed
the takana? Takana means that before the takana you weren't yotzei at all inside. Now the takana means, sorry?
Only according to the Rambam now.
This is the way that he's probably working with the Rambam, that's the way he understands it, that it was a whole new takana. But the new takana is essentially that your yotzei b'di'avad and the chashula is still an Indian to light outside. Question? So, there's more to say about that. We're almost out of time, I want to review and then we'll try to catch mincha. But to add a point to this, there's a fascinating comment of the Ragachavi. And you could have seen this a different way. It's interesting, it's one of these comments that could impact everything in Hanukkah. And you have to think if this is the only way to say it. But the Ragachavi, this is Mitzofnas Paneach on the Rambam. It's available on HebrewBooks.org if you want to look it up. It's on the original Rambam we mentioned before, Parak Gimel Halacha Gimel. Says the Rabbi Shavar that the mitzvah of Neris Chanukah is essentially for two purposes. One, because of the Neros, presumably he means the oil. And the other, he writes, Shemin Solo Min Ha'akum, which he means the Melchama, the fact that we had the military victory. It's a duality that we've mentioned in the past. So then he goes on to say something which I think I would have assumed a little bit in the opposite direction. He says only one of those is still relevant today. Which one? So I would have said the victory of the war is the one that's still relevant because that was the fundamental existential issue that we still benefit from centuries later, and the Neros is less significant. But he says it differently. For the following reason, says there is a concept called Megillus Tainus. There used to be a whole Masechta, very early rabbinic work, called Megillus Tainus, which listed off all kinds of Yom Tovim that were inaugurated throughout the year, a whole bunch of them, in recognition of being saved from some type of sakana. The Jews were saved from some type of an attack, so they instituted the Yom Tovim. And the Gemara says, Vatal Megillus Tainus, and nowadays that whole concept has been wiped away. We don't have the Yom Tovim anymore, with two exceptions, Chanukah and Purim. So that's all we have left from the original Megillus Tainus. So the Rekachover reads that to mean that Chanukah still, we'll talk about Purim separately, it's interesting that he has something a little bit parallel in reference to Purim in a different context. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But just to focus on Chanukah for a second, it says, Batal Megillus Tainus. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that, well, Chanukah remains as one of the few Yom Tovim of Megillus Tainus that survives, but that the Megillus Tainus part of Chanukah was also Batal.
In other words, the nace that we were saved, that we no longer commemorate, because that's a Megillah's Tainus that could have been a lot of Yom Tov, none of which we observe anymore. So what remains is the commemoration of the miracle of the lights. It used to have two components, now it only has one. So says the Rabbi Shaver, there are a lot of dinim in the Gemara that we don't observe anymore because it was associated with the original Chanukah of Megillah's Tainus. And since Bottle Megillah's Tainus, we don't have that anymore. So he writes, for example, the concept of Brechas HaRoah, which we'll get to, which the Gemara talks about making a bracha and seeing Neres Chanukah. So the Raga Chava, that was associated with the Neres Chanukah Megillah's Tainus, and that's not observed anymore. And he says also the idea of lighting outside. So that brings a whole new dimension to this. That the idea that things may have shifted, which the Gemara associates with the Sakana, but perhaps parallel to that, there was another shift. That was associated with an aspect of Chanukah which is no longer observed, so tremendous Chiddush. So Chanukah had these two components to it, Megillah's Tainus and the Festival of Lights, let's call it. And since Megillah's Tainus is no longer observed, so now Chanukah is only the Festival of Lights, and lighting outside, that was a part of Megillah's Tainus. So you have to line up why exactly the Takana shifted at the same time, is necessarily connected or not, but what emerges possibly is that nowadays we relate to the mitzvah of Hadlaki differently. It wouldn't have had to happen at the exact same time. We could say now, several hundred years later, should we revisit the issue? And should we say, let's go back to the initial Takana, so then you'll maybe see this Raga Chakra and say, no, the initial Takana is not relevant anymore anyway, because that was an aspect of the Megillah's Tainus. That's a fascinating idea. Again, I would have thought that if there's one issue of Hanukkah that's more relevant to the ages, it would be the Yeshua from Lachama the other way around, as we've expressed in the past. This is a fascinating comment which may have some relevance to considering how we observe this today. So we'll have to continue the place issues tomorrow. Again, our agenda, we want to talk about some of the more specifics that are brought up in Poskim, regardless of this whole different Takana issue, and in terms of place, in terms of dormitories and issues that are related to that, and also to get to Beis HaKnesses, which is a major issue in the later literature. As far as how we're concerned, it emerges from here. Just to give a clue of how it emerges, and we'll talk about this in more detail, but the Beis Yosef quotes the Rivash, if you saw this, it was on this morning's list, that the Rivash says one of the reasons that we light in the Beis HaKnesses is since we no longer have the ability to light outside and have the Persumei Nisa lighting outside the way the Gemara said to do it, so the Beis HaKnesses is a substitute. That basically we've shifted the idea of lighting outside to the public lighting of the shul. So there are a lot of halachas associated with that, God willing, we'll subsume that within the sugya for this week as well. So just to quickly review what we speak about today. So we talked about the fact that Gemara has the shasa sakana, we changed from lighting outside to saying lighting on the table is okay. We had a little bit of a discussion what's the nature of the sakana, the specific sakana about fire in the house, or is the sakana about Neres Chanukah in a more religious sense, or more sense against our religion, and how that may impact the question of, is it just enough to bring the candles inside, or do they have to be camouflaged, which ties into the question also, what was the original issue, should the candles be outside or by the door, by the front, which ties into the question of Nezikin by the flame that could go to a passing camel with flax, etc., etc. And then we discuss the question, what's the initial institution in Neres Chanukah? Was it always that lighting inside was acceptable, chachila, it should be outside? Or was it, no, the whole takana was about outside, and then once there was a sakana, it was changed to inside. The Rambam's language seems to say that the takana was really about outside, so that it might be a machlokas Tosfos in the Ritva, because Tosfos says that nowadays you don't have to worry about tichla regom and ashok. But the Ritva said, even Bizman HaGemara, if you miss that zone, you should light inside. And then the other Ritva, even more significant, when the Ritva says, what kind of sakana is this? If it's sakana, then we know you don't have to light, you don't have to do a mitzvah, so what's the chiddush here? And the Ritva says, the chiddush is a lower threshold of sakana. So you saw two different ways in which that Ritva seems to be taking a side here. One in that you can't think of a chiddush, why don't we say the whole idea of lighting inside is itself a chiddush, unless he believes that the Lord is there. And also, this threshold for Sakana also seems to indicate that you're not getting rid of the whole mitzvah of Neres Chanukah because it's not enough of a threshold to justify that. And also, the Rashba, who asks, why don't we use one candle for both Shabbos candles and Chanukah candles, that's a proof that we say also the Shabbos Shlohorah. Well, why don't we say another reason not to do that is because you have to have the candles outside. Apparently the Rashba feels that at least for the Eved, you didn't have to have the candles outside. Inside was good enough as well. And Yosef and Rashi Weiss both suggested that this machlokus, the Rabbim of the Rashba, correlates to their machlokus about the time. The Rabbim says it only can be done before Tichel Regel and Ashok, and the Rashba says with the Eved it could be all night. Maybe it's the same question as the whole Takana within the Persumei Nisa maximalization zone, or is it at least b'dieved all night? And then we got into the question of, so what happens nowadays? What should be the practice? What is the practice? What's going on? How some of the Rishonim noted that it's interesting that there's no sakana anymore, but this practice of lighting inside seems to persist. Mabei Shchai recorded that as well. And then we discussed a few possible ways of looking at that. And then the Aruch HaShulchan, who maintains that it's too cold, weather conditions don't allow it. And then we got into the question, is that enough? And is it possibly a problem of even being able to light the candles if you're going to light the wind, and the ups and downs of that issue? And then the Chiddush of the Dvar Yehoshua and a few others, that the whole Takana was redefined, so one could not even be Yotzei lighting outside nowadays, because that's no longer included in what Chazal have left us with, and others who seem to have a more flexible attitude towards it, and the Brisker Rav, who also understood that it was a new takana, but al-Khatila, still one should lay outside, but that one can be Yotzei inside. And then we noted that this seems to be subject to some various minhagim, and that this also gets us to the position of the Rabbi Shaver, who maintains that Hanukkah was originally about two things, now it's about one thing, and therefore lighting outside is part of the aspect that's no longer observed, a tremendous chiddush. And we noted the Rivashi writes that the practice of lighting in shuls nowadays is on one level a replacement for lighting outside, and that will allow us this week to talk about that topic in a little more detail. So again, God willing, the next 2 days, try to cover a little bit more about the practicalities and the lumbus of where do we light. Okay, so if we could have them in for now. Yosef, you want to write? Okay. We need almost everybody to say if possible.